Going to commence our service tonight with Charles Wesley's hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Let's stand, please, as we worship the Lord. Let's still ourselves, please, in the Lord's presence now and come to pray and commit our service to Him. Father, as we have been singing this hymn of praise tonight, it is truly the testimony of every believer, everyone who has been washed in the blood of Christ. We have been redeemed and brought out of the darkness and depth of that pit of sin, and set upon the rock, Christ Jesus, we can say that Christ is the lover of my soul. Thankful for that day, O God, when the Savior left the glory of heaven to come down to become a man, to take on Him human flesh, to be made like unto us. And yet, O God, free from sin, no spot or stain of iniquity upon the blessed and holy brow of our Lord Jesus. Father, today we come to give thanks from our heart for all that Christ Jesus means to us, for everything he has done on account of this sinner. And Lord, we have been brought into the life and liberty and light of the sons of God. And Lord, we know that with glorious expectation, one day soon we will be brought to see him, whom to know is life everlasting. And when we see him, we will be like our Lord, for we will see him as he is. Father, hasten that day. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, we pray. Complete and fulfill your sovereign plan and purpose in and through us. Lord, we want each day to walk more and more by faith and less by sight. We want, O God, to be in the very center of your perfect and holy will, so that we might bring glory and honor to King Jesus. Father, we lift up our hands in prayer and praise and thanksgiving. We're thankful for the joy and the peace that you've given to us in believing. And that tonight we know we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we pray, Father, that we will be strengthened with might in the inner man, that we will walk daily in accordance to the Scripture, that we will not walk according to our own light or intellect or thinking. Lord, deliver us from ourselves, we pray. And help us to do that which is pleasing, that we might glorify our God. For indeed, Father, we know from the Scripture that this is the reason we have been chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world, the very reason that we have been brought to faith by the power of the Spirit, the reason that we are saved, that we might glorify our God. Therefore, Lord, we give ourselves into your hand and pray that you would accelerate and you would maximize every day we have, every day that we've been given, in order that your kingdom would be extended. You'd be pleased, Lord, to make use of us. Help us, we pray, Father, to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, that the devil will not be able to trip us up, to cause us to stumble with evil thoughts, but rather, Lord, we will dwell on things that are pure and holy and right and true, whatsoever things are just, holy, righteous. Let us think on these things. Father, we pray, as we have been thinking today on this significant anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, we're thankful for the heritage that we have, rich, Lord, a rich heritage. Let us not despise it. Let us not sell our birthright for a mess of beans. Oh God, help us to cherish the blessings and benefits that we have in our day now. Help us to lift high our Lord Jesus and to be thankful for this gospel heritage. Lord, may it reverberate forth from this fellowship, from this place. Let every one of us as your children be useful in your kingdom to spread the message of Christ and of free and full salvation. Give us the joy of leading men and women, boys and girls, to the Savior. Lord, to that end, we pray that you would bless the Behind the Wall children's ministry. Use it, Lord, as it goes out every other week. Bless the past episodes online. Lord, encourage and bless the boys and girls who will tune in, and may they come to trust in the Savior. Bless our boys and girls in the Sunday school work. We ask, Lord, for our Bible classes. We pray for our youth and young adult fellowship. Lord, multiply, extend, give power and strength to all the young people in our work. They're seeking your will for their life. They're seeking for a partner in life. And Lord, whatever the case may be, whatever direction that they are to go, call them, Lord, we pray, into full-time service in whatever capacity is your purpose. Father, hear our prayer tonight. Thankful for the times of prayer this afternoon with our elders and deacons, and also the pre-service time, Lord, given to your people a heart, desire, hunger for prayer. We ask, Lord, that you would mightily bless, multiply this work in every way. Father, we're saddened by the world's attention to this date of Halloween. We're saddened, O God, by the attention that's given to demonic forces and evil things. Lord, it's astounding in one way how people are so taken in by things, and it's all made light and made something of fun and frolicking. Little do they know the depth, O God, of deception and of evil and wickedness that's around in our day. O God, help us in our time. It seems the more the gospel light is turned away, that wickedness and evil things come to the surface. And the thinking of people today, Lord, is all twisted and bent out of shape. Oh, Lord, help us to be a light. We will shine in our time. And Father, forward your will through us, we pray. We think again of our nation, the need we have in our time for our leaders. We pray for their salvation. We ask that they'll be restrained from sinful activity. We pray that as they might have party intention or politics or whatever else is the thing going on in their head, that, Lord, you would restrain them from evil and you would direct their heart to do that which is true and right. Hear our prayer. Lord, we commit ourselves to thee. We are helpless ourselves. We're coming to a God who is omnipotent, all-powerful, and therefore we rest ourselves and our work upon your way. Hear us tonight. Remember the many sick ones. We're asking again for your kind and gracious and sovereign hand to be upon those who are in need tonight. Remember our sister Serene. Lord, bless her, we pray. Touch her body. Heal her. We pray for Leah tonight, that you would help her, that she'll be facing surgery. Lord, just touch her body, we ask. Pray for Joan, Lord, in the very, very serious health need that she has. Lord, be with her and strengthen her, we pray. We think of our brother Ron. Pray for encouragement of heart and soul for him. Asking, Lord, for Rebecca Chandler in hospital. Help her. Be with my neighbor. Lord, I pray that you would touch her at this time as well in hospital. All these things we ask and many more. Lord, the things that we forget, that we omit, yet we commit them in all together in the needs we have in our families. And in our congregation, bless us all, we pray. Hear us now tonight. We ask these things with thankfulness, Lord, for Brother McKee, thankfulness for the week of meetings in Port Hope. Thankful, Lord, for his ministry this morning, praying again for him tonight. He will know help as he ministers in song and in the opening of the scripture. Encourage his heart. Be with his dear wife. Bless his congregation overseas. Strengthen us all now, we pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's continue, please, in our worship. We want to sing, O Master, Let Me Walk with Thee. Let's stand to worship. Turning tonight, please, Psalm 32, our congregational reading, Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. May God bless his own precious word to our hearts tonight as we have read. A precious psalm, one I encourage and challenge you to pray over as you're in your own private devotions. It is a blessed psalm. When David wrote and prayed through this, he was rejoicing. I could almost see the tears streaming down his face as he thought about the great truth. The Lord did not impute his sin unto him. His sins were covered. He rejoiced. He was made righteous before a holy God. He knew his standing before the Lord. Was David a saved man? Most definitely he was. He knew the Lord all right. In fact, my dear friends, he knew the Lord a lot better than most of us do. You could see it and read it through the Psalms and the communion that he had. Rejoice in the Lord. Be thankful for his word, as we were being reminded of this morning. The precious, the valuable written word of the Lord given to us so that we might be built up, edified, directed, shown the way we are to go. And thank God for all of that. Welcome to our service tonight. We're glad that you are here. Happy that you're in the house of the Lord. God's given you grace, strength, health to be here. And we're very happy about that. Very happy to have Pastor Dieter with us tonight, all the way from Kitchener. He's been in contact with Brother McKee, and obviously heard him online and then wanted to make connection. And so we're very happy, brother, that you're here with us tonight. You're very welcome in the Savior's name. And others, I might not have your name, but if you're here, you're welcome. And viewing our service online, we're very happy that you are with us tonight. Remember, please, in your prayers, the many sick ones that we have been praying about recently, leaving much before the Lord. We think about Carol Conroy tomorrow. She goes for open heart surgery first thing tomorrow morning. And we also remember our sister Leah Simman in prayer, as she also will be facing eye surgery very soon, if that is the direction that the doctors will go. We commit her to the Lord and just pray that she will know the hand of God upon her at this particular time. Always and continuing to pray for Rebecca Chandler, the Lord's hand would be upon her in hospital. And also our sisters Serene and Joan, these ones we remember, and our brother Ron. And then, of course, we have elderly ones, shut-ins, that are not able to be out to the house of God anymore because of their, well, just age and infirmity. We want to remember them before God. Thinking, too, about the persecuted church and Christians that are suffering today because of their faith and testimony in Christ, wherever they might be, we are asking God to watch over and protect each one of them. Well, today we have been remembering as Reformation Lord's Day, and we are thankful to think about this at this time of the year, and thanking God for the great heritage that he has given to us. And we don't want to be forgetful of the great mercies and blessings he has given to us. We enjoyed the message of the word of the Lord today, reminding us about God's truth and the scriptures that have been given to us. And our brother will be ministering again to us tonight. Following the service, the Connect Fellowship, those who are in this church anyway, will be going downstairs for a time of fellowship and food afterward, and an opportunity to meet Brother McKee and have some closer fellowship with him. So looking forward to that afterward. Let me remind you of the ministry going on this week. Starting tomorrow night, those of you who signed up for the beginner Greek classes, they will be starting at 7 p.m. and do not come to the church building, but go over to the school building, the front door. You will find that open, and you'll be directed there where exactly to go. And it's a 7-week course, and if you signed up for that, well, come prepared with your binder and your pen and paper, whatever else you might need for a regular class, and you will hopefully have an enjoyable time as you study there. Wednesday evening is our prayer meeting and Bible study. We're continuing in the book of Acts, and I want to remind you that there will be a very short quiz on chapters 19 and 20 of the book of Acts. And next Lord's Day, our regular services, our Bible classes at 9:55. Let me encourage you all to be early for our Bible classes so that you're settled and you're in and ready to go, so that we don't waste any time at all. And do remember all of our Sunday school teachers, please, in prayer, that the Lord would grow and prosper our Sunday school in every single department. Next Lord's Day morning, I hope to begin a study in the book of Hosea. And I want you to read this week through the book of Hosea. It will not take you very long, but you familiarize yourself with it. The minor prophets are not easy books to understand, and therefore it will take some extra work. And I ask you to pray, not only for yourself, but pray for the pastor, that the Lord will help me as we go through this study, and it will be a blessing to all of us as we see the gospel thread that runs through these minor prophets, and it's a blessed thing to see, and how the Lord shows his love to his people through these ways. Those are all the ministry that we want to share with you tonight, announcements. And if you have an offering for the Lord, you can give that into the plate that's on the table as you leave tonight. Very happy our brother McKee is with us, and he is going to now share with us a ministry in song. And so, brother, we'll turn over to you at this time.
Thirsty land, he hideth my life in the
Thank you, brother, for ministering to us with those precious words, and I trust it is a blessing to everyone as you have heard tonight. Let us sing one more song of praise before our brother comes to minister the word. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, number 497, if you're using our hymnal at home. Let's stand to worship. Well, it's a joy to welcome our brother, Ryan McKee, Reverend McKee, to our pulpit again. And he flies out tomorrow evening to go back to his home overseas and back to his wife and his congregation. And we have enjoyed seeing our brother again and having this time together, a short time over the weekend. But his ministry in Port Hope over this past week, those messages are available for, if you'd like to get them, you can just go on to Facebook and then type in Port Hope, Free Presbyterian Church, and those messages will come up. I encourage you to get them and listen to them over again on the series of the seven churches of Asia. Appreciate his message in this morning service, and we pray that the Lord will bless you tonight. Brothers, you come again and share the word of the Lord to us. You're very welcome here.
Well, it's lovely to be back here this evening, and it's been a wonderful trip over to Canada, a short trip, but a lovely time spent with God's people to renew fellowship with some people, to meet others whom I have not met before, and we rejoice in this. And I want to say thank you to your pastor and his dear wife for having me with them yesterday and for the time of fellowship, and I really have enjoyed that time, and I'm looking forward to going back home, but certainly I've made some precious memories here, and I do rejoice in that. And we do pray for you. We will be praying for you as a congregation, and pray the Lord will continue to bless here in Toronto. Can I ask you to turn in God's word to Proverbs chapter 14? Proverbs chapter 14. And one of the great blessings of the Reformation was that the word of God came into the hands of the people, and they were able to know from the printed page how God views mankind. And tonight I simply want to preach a gospel message. The message that we have before us, I trust, will speak to hearts, will give you who are saved a deeper appreciation of what the Lord has done for you, a burden to see others saved as well. And if you're not saved tonight, my heart's prayer and desire is that even through the ministry of the Word of God, through His truth, that you would come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Nothing else is more important. Nothing is more important in this world than knowing that your soul is at peace with God, safe in the hands of Jesus, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let's read from Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Amen. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer and ask for God's blessing to be upon the ministry of his word. Our gracious, loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, for the privilege of coming once again into the throne room of grace in the attitude of prayer, and through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the one who gave himself for us, the one who bore our sins in his own body on the tree, the one who died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And we do thank thee, O Lord, for those men whom you raised so many years ago, who brought to us the word of God in our own tongue. We thank you for those who stood against the error and the falsehood and the damning teaching of the church at that time. We rejoice that the light shone over Europe and then throughout the world. And we pray, O Lord, that once again thy people will get back to the word of God. They will live it. They will love it. They will preach it. And we pray even in our day, in our generation, that with our own eyes, we will see a reviving of true religion. Souls who are fully sold out to the Lord. Oh, Lord, we pray that in this church, we pray in Mockerfell, we pray in all of our sister congregations, that the breath of God will come sweeping through us. Oh, Lord, show us the things that are truly important and help us to be obedient to thy word. We pray tonight, Lord, for this message. We thank thee for the opportunity to preach the gospel. And we realize that in such a meeting, the devil will be up and about like a roaring lion. We know that he will seek to distract people so they will not hear the word. We know, Lord, that he will present sin to be something that is to be longed after. And we pray, Lord, tonight that the mind will be taken up with the things of God. And ears tonight will hear the voice of God. And Lord, you will bind the strong man in every plan for this meeting. And may there be liberty in the preaching of the gospel, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Oh, Lord, give us help tonight. Empty me of self and sin and fill me with thy Spirit. And, O Lord, may you be pleased to follow the preaching of thy word with signs, souls seeking Christ. O Lord, surely there are those tonight need to be saved. May this night be the night of their salvation. We plead and we humbly pray in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen and amen. My text for tonight is verse number 9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Throughout the book of Proverbs, there are many verses, just a few lines like this one, that present the truths of the gospel. And we often read over them very quickly. Whenever we read down the book of Proverbs, I was taught many years ago that a wise thing for a young person to do is to read a chapter of the book of Proverbs every day along with your other scriptural readings. So on the first of the month, which I believe is tomorrow, this is a good time to start, read through Proverbs chapter 1. On the second, read through Proverbs chapter 2 and go right through to the end and then go back. And you know what? Every month I read, every day I read, there's always something new. The Lord leaves something upon my heart. But we can't read over these verses and simply read them, say, yes, that's the word of God, next verse, next verse, next verse. But I want us to focus in on this verse for a few moments. Think about what the words mean. Think about the message behind it. And I trust and pray that even those who are not saved will come to know Christ as their Savior. Fools make a mock at sin. Now, the word fools, it comes from a word meaning to be perverse. Perverse. And it figuratively means silly, foolish people. Now, we know that there are people in this world we could describe as foolish. They do things and you sometimes stand back and you think, where is the common sense? Well, it's not all that common. And they do things that are foolish and we think, how on earth is someone doing something like that? But you know, whenever we come to the Word of God, God declares certain people to be fools. God declares certain people to be fools. And it is those who make a mock at sin. Now, the word to make a mock, it means to scorn or to scoff or to treat lightly. And whenever we come to God's house and open God's word, it's not something that we treat lightly. And the teachings of the word of God, such things as sin, God's judgment, and hell, they are not something that we treat lightly. The word sin means guilt. And the Word of God tells us that we're all born in sin into this world and shaping in iniquity. I quoted the verse this morning, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that word sin, that is translated sin here in the scriptures in verse number 9, is from a word which means to destroy, to offend, or to trespass. And those three words really are a good description of what sin is. Sin is to trespass or break the law of God. All sin offends a holy God. And all sin is destructive. It destroys our lives in time and our souls in eternity. All sin must be punished, and all sin will be punished. That sin with which we are born is a barrier between you and God. You know, there's some people who say that they worship God. They say they love the Lord, but they have never had the matter of their sin dealt with. They don't realize that sin is a great barrier, a great gulf, and no man can bridge that gulf. No man can come into fellowship or friendship with God until the matter of his sin has been dealt with. Not only is sin a barrier, sin is a burden, because there is the burden of sin. And we do marvel sometimes that many people in this world, they're so wicked, they're so vile in their activities, and they don't seem to care. But I'll tell you, they will feel the burden of their sin. And if they do not feel it in time and repent of it and seek forgiveness from the Lord, they will know that burden of sin upon their shoulders whenever they stand before the judgment seat of God. I've heard of people make foolish statements such as, well, whenever I stand before God, I'll tell this and I'll tell that. No, you won't. The Bible tells us that such is the glory of God, and such will be the awe of the sinner standing before a holy God, that they will call out for the mountains and the hills to fall upon them. They'll wish they were dead. And yet they have to stand before the judgment seat of the Lord. If you're not saved tonight, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, then you are a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. And should the Lord take the breath from your body tonight, should your heart beat for the last time, even this hour, your soul will go out into a lost eternity in hell. And therefore, only a fool would mock at sin. Only a fool would treat this lightly. Only a fool would scoff at this, because this is a serious, serious matter. This is to do with your eternity. And no matter how long you live upon this earth, unless the Lord comes in our lifetime, we must needs die. And we go into eternity without any end, either to heaven for the Christian or hell for the unsaved. But the next part of the verse says, but among the righteous there is favor. And that's very interesting, because I've already said that all are born in sin. So who can stand forth and say, well, I am righteous before God, I stand acceptable before God? Well, no one can of themselves. There's not one person that has ever been born in this world, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ, who can say, I am good, who can say, I am righteous, who can say, I have a relationship with God. But the word righteous means the just, the upright ones. And the wonderful blessing of the gospel is this, that whenever we are saved by the grace of God and we ask the Lord Jesus to save us, we receive, or he takes our sin, it's imputed to him, and his righteousness is imputed to us. And we have some wonderful verses in Scripture that talk about the blessings of the righteous. The Lord hears the cry of the righteous. His eyes are upon the righteous. And we who are saved can call ourselves, according to Scripture, the righteous, not because of anything in us, but because of what Christ has done for us. The rags of our sin have been removed at our conversion, and the robe of Christ's righteousness is placed upon us. And therefore, tonight, as our God looks from heaven into this meeting, for each Christian, each child of God, each born-again believer washed in the blood, he does not see what we once were, but he sees us tonight in Christ. We're accepted in Christ. We are righteous because of him. The hymn writer put it well when he said, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. And for those who are clinging to the cross, for those who are saved tonight, praise God, we are the righteous, the redeemed that are spoken of in Revelation. Those who will stand around the throne of God in heaven singing, "Worthy, the Lamb that was slain." Now, the first sin in Scripture was committed in Genesis chapter 3. We read of that whenever Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. But the first mention of the word sin in Scripture is found in Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 7. And the Lord is speaking to Cain. Cain and Abel have come before God. They have set up altars. They have provided sacrifices. And Abel's sacrifice was accepted. Cain's was not. God rejected his sacrifice. God rejected his method of worship. It wasn't acceptable before God because it wasn't a blood sacrifice. And we can only have fellowship with God on the grounds of a blood sacrifice. And of course, for us, that is through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary. And the Lord spoke to Cain and said, "If thou doest well," in other words, if you do what I ask you to do, if you come the right way, "if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." And therefore, so simply this was placed before Cain. If you do what I call you to do, I will accept you. But if you do your own thing and you refuse to come my way, then sin will be with you. You will not be forgiven. You will not be accepted. And as I thought about that, sin lieth at the door. Someday we will come to death. And death is like a door. It's like walking through a door from time into eternity. And dear friend, tonight in this meeting, if you're not saved, the first thing that you'll be aware of when you die is your sin. Sin lieth at the door. Because you'll be in the darkness of the damned forever. You'll hear the weeping and the wailing of the lost in hell. You'll realize that everything you knew about the Scripture and heard about the Scripture and the faithful gospel preaching, you reject it. It's all true. But you'll also realize it's too late. Sin lieth at the door. And therefore tonight, what I want to do in the closing moments of this meeting is to ask the question, what does man try to do with his sin? What does man try to do with his sin? You see, it says here, fools make a mock at sin. In what way do they do it? In what way do they treat their sin lightly? And I just want to leave with you a few things that some people do with their sin, and then close tonight by saying what the Lord tells us to do with our sin. Well, the first thing is this. Some people try to ignore the reality of sin. They try to ignore the reality of sin. They don't open the Bible. They don't go to church. They don't listen to gospel music or gospel preaching or anything like that. And even today in churches, even today in so-called churches, there are preachers standing in the pulpit, and like the false prophets in the book of Jeremiah, whom God condemned, they're saying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. They're telling the people in their congregation that everything's okay. God loves everybody just as they are. He won't reject you. He won't turn you away. Come to church. Pay your money into the offering. Come and join our church or take part in the activities. Do your best, and you can be sure that God will treat you favorably whenever you get to the end of your life. Souls in darkness. People lost in their sin on their way to hell. And someone standing in a pulpit saying, "It's okay, you have nothing to worry about." Dear friend, I do not say these things to hurt you. I say these things to warn you. You have everything to worry about tonight if you're not saved. There is no peace, saith the Lord, for the wicked, for the unsaved. And we know there are people, and they'll say, "Well, I'm okay. Don't you worry about me." We do worry about you. We do pray for you. There are prayer meetings in this very building today because you're not saved. There have been prayer meetings for years in the midweek services because you are in your sin. And we don't want to see you lost in hell. We want you to be there when the roll is called up yonder. My friend, if you ignore sin and don't face up to the reality of it in your life, you will never be saved. Because the first step to heaven, the first step to salvation, is acknowledging that you are a sinner. Acknowledging that the problem sin causes between you and the Lord, the offense it has given to God, and the great punishment that comes with it. Some ignore it, some deny it. But the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Surely there's nobody here tonight, I trust and pray, would say, I'm not a sinner. I was never a sinner. I'm a good person. Come to the Word of God. Look into the mirror of the Word of God and see who you truly are. This book doesn't promote man. This book isn't a feel-good book for people to read and say, oh, this is great, I feel good about myself, I'm a wonderful person. This book exalts Christ, the only Savior of sinners. It shows man as he truly is. And that's why we need the Word of God preached again. That's why we need the Word of God to be preached throughout this land, throughout this world, because unless people hear the truth, they will never be set free. Then there are those that seek to cover their sin. We think of the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. And they sought to cover themselves with religion. And they certainly were very pious people. In fact, the word Pharisees means the separated ones. And they did stand out in society because often of their noble lifestyle. But yet, behind their noble activities and their religious activities, there was a major, major problem. They weren't saved. They were sinners, engaging in religious work, but yet they were sinners. And the Lord Jesus Christ, during his earthly ministry, faced them one day and called them out. You're like whited sepulchres, like the graves that were most likely in view whenever he spoke of it. And over there in Israel, whenever the grave was hewn out of the rock, often whenever the body was placed in, and because decay started to take place, they actually painted the outside of the tombs and the graves with lime. And whenever the sun shone, there was a beautiful white glow came off the outside of the grave. And even today, if you stand on the Mount of Olives and the sun is shining, and you look across that mount, you will see all the graves, and they're done with that limestone or painted with that lime. And they look beautiful. They look really beautiful upon the eye. And the Lord said, you are like whited sepulchres. You look good on the outside, but on the inside, there's deadness and decay. Maybe tonight, you're just like the Pharisee. You come to God's house and you're dressed respectfully. Whenever the minister says we're going to pray, you pray. When he says we're going to sing, you sing. When we're going to have an offering, you put money into the offering. You look at him when he is preaching and you go out the door. And for all the minister knows, you appear to be a Christian because of what you're doing, how you are living your life. But the reality is you have a covering of religion. You do not have true salvation. Religion does not save you from your sin. Religion does not take you to heaven. Only Christ, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, will save you. In fact, in Proverbs 28, verse 13, another wonderful verse we could spend a full night on, says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And you're not to try and cover your sin with good works or religion or by turning your life around and trying to be better, but rather you're to come before the Lord and confess that you're a sinner, that you can do nothing to save yourself, and call upon Him for mercy and forgiveness. There is mercy with our God. There are others then that seek to redefine sin so it doesn't appear as bad as it actually is. Now, when I was in school, I was a primary school teacher for several years. And toward the end of my time there, I think just in the last number of months before I went to Bible college to train for the ministry, there was this new policy that had started to come out around schools. Now, I don't know how you do it in Canada, but at home, whenever we were marking work, we did it with a red pen. If something was right, you got a check or a tick. And if something was wrong, you got an X. And the school children, they took the book and they knew, well, that's right, that's wrong. So you have to go and work on what's wrong and get it right for the next time. But some wonderful person came up with the idea that this was too severe for the children. It was too daunting for them to see red pens with X's upon the page. So we weren't allowed to mark in red pen anymore. That was too disturbing for children. We had to mark in green. That was a little more acceptable. You weren't allowed to put an X on the page. You had to put a dot. A green dot. No more red X's, just green. Now, it meant exactly the same thing, but it was the biggest pile of nonsense. It was trying to say you could do better rather than saying that's absolutely wrong. And you know something? That's society today, is it not? Is that not our society today? We don't call sin sin anymore in general society. Nobody's a liar anymore. They just embellish the truth. There's no one who is just wicked and with an unjust anger. That's just someone who lets off steam. We can't call abortion murder. No, we have now renamed it as a woman's life choice. It sounds a lot easier, doesn't it? But God's word calls it for what it is. In fact, in 2015, a New York Times columnist wrote an article, and the argument in this article was that Christians ought to be forced to redefine sin and not use the word so much because it was so offensive. One Christian teacher has stated, the tide has turned from the Bible redefining sin to the, or sorry, from the Bible defining sin to the government redefining sin. And I know your land is the same, our land is the same. These things are coming in, they're dressing it up to make it acceptable, to make it very polite, but the reality is God's word calls it out for what it is. And the Bible says, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. And no individual and no nation will prosper when they go fully against the word of God. And I haven't enough knowledge of your nation to speak about it at all, but I will speak about Northern Ireland. And there are laws that have been passed within the last number of months and years that are absolutely abhorrent. Things that you would not have spoken of 20 years ago are now acceptable. And our land is ripe for God to step in. And God is either going to come in great judgment in Northern Ireland or with a revival to turn the tide. But I believe things can't really go much further than they are. Friend, you can redefine sin to whatever you want. But it doesn't change the fact that when you stand before God, you are judged by this book. This is God's standard. And if you are not saved by God's grace and washed in the blood that Christ shed, you're a sinner on your road to a lost eternity. There are others, and they seek to compare their sin with others. And therefore, if they find people who are much more wicked than they are, they think, well, it's okay, I'm not as bad as some people, so it must be okay. There must be some good values in me, some good qualities in me. I think of the publican and the Pharisee who went to the temple in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. The Pharisee came and He looked and he saw this publican, the tax collector, the man who had turned his back on society to go over to the Romans to collect taxes from his own fellow countrymen to give to the Roman government. He really was an outcast of society. Not only was he an outcast, he was one of the most deceitful men in the country because they were notorious for taking more than they actually needed to give to the government and pocketing it for themselves. Zacchaeus being one of those examples. But this man had obviously come under conviction of sin. And he wanted mercy. He wanted to be saved. And this publican, this tax collector, came into the temple. He fell on his knees. He smote his breast. He couldn't even lift his eyes up to heaven and cried, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The Pharisee looked at him. And you know what the Pharisee did? Rather than thinking about how he stood before God, he compared himself with a publican. "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this sinner, this publican. I fast, I tithe, I do this, I do that." And what he did, he built himself up with his words and compared himself to someone else. And the Bible tells us that those words didn't go any higher than the ceiling, because it says he prayed thus with himself. But the Bible also tells us that the publican went to his house justified, declared to be clean before God, declared to be right and acceptable before God. You see, your salvation and the condition of your soul is a personal matter between you and God. It doesn't say to go and compare yourselves to others and make sure you're better, but to compare yourself to Christ, to the Ten Commandments, to the Word of God. And you'll find you fall far short. I could go out tonight and find someone who's living in open sin that I'm not living in and say, "Oh, I'm better than that person." But that's not what we're called to do. We're to measure ourselves by the Word of God. There are some, sadly, deal with their sin in this way. They seek to be satisfied by it. They're not embarrassed about it at all. They're not ashamed, they're not fearful, but rather they seek to embrace it and to be satisfied with it. And someone once wrote these words, which I thought were very good: "Dissatisfaction in life is near the root of all kinds of sin." And that's why we have abuse and drugs and alcohol and binge-watching hours and hours of media, scrolling endlessly on the internet. People are trying to be satisfied with their sin, but sin doesn't satisfy. Oh, there are pleasures in sin for a season, but then there has to be a further step and a further step and a further step, because what once was a pleasure is no longer a pleasure. And folks, this world can't satisfy your soul. And no lifestyle can satisfy your soul. And no behavior can satisfy your soul. More money was not the answer. Better education isn't the key. Only Jesus, the Son of God, our Creator, can satisfy the soul that we have been given. The Bible says in Psalm 107, verse 9, "He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." A friend, if your desire is tonight to be saved, to be free from your sin, to be right with God, you will find that need met in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not turn the seeker away. "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." That's the promise of Scripture. One of my favorite verses in the whole of the Bible tells us, Whosoever. I can look at this congregation tonight and say, "Whosoever," because we're all included. "Whosoever shall call upon of the name of the Lord shall be saved." And therefore, friend, I bid you call. I encourage you to call. I beg you to call. I compel you to call upon Christ and confess your need. Confess your sin and ask the Lord to save you. And we've thought about all of these different ways that men treat sin so lightly. Let's close tonight by asking the question, what's God's way of dealing with sin? What is God's way of dealing with my sin? Well, I could say very simply that God's way is Christ. Because whenever his name was given, there in the book of Matthew 1:21, from heaven the message came, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. His very name declares his salvation. And tonight, in this world, the name of our Savior, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, is often used as a swear word, as a curse word. And little do the people know that he is their only hope of salvation, their only hope of peace with God, their only hope of heaven. And whenever the Lord Jesus Christ ascended, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, he promised that the disciples would receive power. And they would be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and on to the uttermost parts of the earth. And the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and filled those men with power. And those who a few days earlier were once afraid to stand for the Lord, to claim their allegiance to Christ whenever he was being tried before his crucifixion, now were filled with the Spirit of God. And they had boldness to preach. And people marveled at them. Many of them were not learned or educated men, but they had the power of God. And they told the people there in Jerusalem at that time what exactly they needed to do. Because as they spoke, conviction was coming into the hearts of the people. And here's just one of the many verses that details what they said. Here's one of them. Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. And the Holy Spirit gave the servant the message, and the message was sent forth, repent ye, therefore, and be converted. Do you know that the first teaching ministry of Christ was repentance? That was the first message he preached as recorded in the Gospels, the message of repentance. And there's none who will be in heaven except they first repent and have faith or trust, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, instead of ignoring your sin, confess it. Instead of denying it, own it tonight. Instead of covering it, expose it tonight. Instead of redefining it, call it out for what it is tonight. Instead of comparing it, declare it. And acknowledge that it doesn't and it cannot satisfy, because God has promised to blot out our sin. It means to obliterate. It means to wipe away. It's the same thought as whenever someone is weeping and the tears are falling down their face and they fall to the ground and sink into the ground. They cannot be gathered up again. That's the same idea as that word blot out. And whenever the Lord deals with our sin through his precious blood, it is never remembered against us again. We stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We stand complete in Christ. And what a blessing it is to be able to look to tomorrow and say, if the Lord wills for me to live because he lives and I live in him, I can face tomorrow. I can face it with my Savior, with my Lord, with my Shepherd, with my friend. I don't have to be in fear and anxiety because he is holding me and he has promised to bring me safely home. And I can even look at death. Yes, even death, the last enemy. And I can say with the words of Paul, when it's absent from the body, then is present with the Lord. Death is a promotion. When we leave these things behind, the agonies, the pains, the sufferings, the sicknesses, all of the things that cause life to be an agony down here, praise God, they're left behind. And we go to the place where God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. No more death, no more pain, no more suffering. And I conclude tonight by asking this question to you as an individual. Don't consider who's sitting beside you or behind you or in front of you. But tonight, before God, with judgment day honesty, have you been to Christ? Have you called on Him to forgive your sin? Have you repented? Have you trusted? If so, praise the Lord. Thank Him tonight before you put your head upon the pillow. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Friend, if you're not saved tonight, and you're going to go out those doors without Christ, I have no good news for you. I have no good news. In this book, there is not one word of comfort for those who reject Christ. But the Bible says, come. And we're reminded in Scripture, and with this we're through, that we're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow. And you might have agreed with everything that I've said. And you might be sitting in this meeting tonight saying, well, someday I must get saved. Someday I would like to get saved. I would like to be ready sometime. But the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. If we're honest tonight, we don't even know if we'll make it back to our homes. We don't know if we'll be sleeping in our own bed tonight. We don't even know if we'll leave this building tonight. We do not know the moment God can call us from this scene of time. Oh, but it's so important to know that you're ready. That you're ready. Should the Lord come or call, it is well with my soul. Is there someone tonight needs to be saved? Is there someone in this meeting and the Lord has been speaking to your heart? As we bow in prayer in a few moments, why not call upon the Lord to save you? He can save you now in this meeting. Right in this pew in Toronto Free Presbyterian Church. I'll be at the door in the will of the Lord in a few moments' time. Speak to myself, to your pastor. We would love to show you from the Bible how you can be saved. We can't save you, but we can point you to Christ. Don't leave without Him. He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And I trust He's yours tonight. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we just simply make ourselves available once more. Don't leave without Christ. Don't put it off, but come now. We think of the words of Horatio Spafford, who said, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to His cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that that will be the testimony of every individual in this meeting tonight. We pray for every child, for every adult, for every man, for every woman, for every young person, for every senior person. Oh, Lord, we pray that not one will leave this meeting tonight in their sin. A heartbeat from hell. Step from a lost eternity. When there is a Savior who's ready and willing and able to save. We thank Thee, Lord, for sending Your Son into this world to die upon the cross. We say it so often and we cannot enter into exactly what happened there, but we know that the wrath of God was fully satisfied. And the sins of His people were dealt with on the tree. And therefore tonight we simply compel sinners to come to Christ. Oh Lord, make it difficult for the unsaved to leave tonight. Don't allow them to walk one step further without thee. And we pray that whatever is done as a result of this meeting tonight, we will give the glory alone to our Lord. Bless us, we pray. Take us to our homes in safety. And should we never meet again the sight of eternity, Lord, grant it that all will meet on heaven's golden streets. Grant, Lord, that each one who has been in this meeting tonight, each one watching, will be found among the redeemed on that great eternal morning. We pray humbly and reverently. We ask thee, God, to move for the glory of Christ's name. Amen.